Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to be here again, and I welcome you. I welcome everyone who's going to listen to this and watch us online. So I'm going to, in a sense, continue with part two of what I started earlier and looking again at James 5. I'm trying not to bring any silly jokes in this time, but if you haven't got a Bible, if you want to turn to James 5, or it'll come up on the screen. So James 5, verse 13 onwards, it says this. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone sick? Let him call upon the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. So this morning I was talking through that. We looked at the fact that he's asking a question that almost is surprising, because in the early church there wasn't any sick people around. We looked at that from Acts 5 and the fact that they healed everybody. So if anybody was sick in the church, there weren't anybody sick in the church because they all got healed. And in fact, anybody outside the church who wanted to be healed would come, and it says they healed them all. We also looked at the fact that we need to be earnest in our prayers and looked at Elijah as being the example for us all, that he prayed that it would stop raining, and it did. And then 3 years or so later, God told him to go back, speak to Ahab, and he did do. And then after that, he then did the whole Mount Carmel, fire coming down, sacrifices. And then he actually said, it's going to rain. So he'd got a word from God. He'd spoke the word of God. But then even he then went up on the mountaintop and he prayed. He spent time praying. And for 7 times, he sent his servant and said, do you see anything? And his servant said, no, I don't. Then he would come back, and the servant on the last time said, I see a cloud like a man's hand. And Elijah took that as being the seed form and set off. The rains came and his prayers were answered. But James puts that across for us so that we can be encouraged to be earnest in prayer. Now, I believe with all my heart that God heals. When we pray for people, God heals. God delivers. God sets free. And for me, I've been brought up in the circles I got brought up. I expect it to be instantaneous. But what happens is a question I asked this morning and asking tonight. What happens between the praying and the receiving in that gap? And that's why I put up right at the beginning, it's called Mind the Gap, part two. Because we need to mind the gap or be mindful of the gap. Because often we can have this idea that we pray and God answers the prayer and we receive it instantly. But that's not always the case. God is not like a chocolate machine where you can put your pennies in, money in, and press a button and it drops out of the bottom. You might have to rock it, but it drops out of the bottom. Sometimes God does things instantly. But actually, what he does for us is always instant. But sometimes it takes a while for that process to come through. And yes, I've been healed instantaneously by different things, different ailments, and God's healed me instantly. But there's also been some other things I've had to work through. So whether you're going through troubles or whether you're in times of happiness or whether you're sick, then you need to work out the fact that God does things, but sometimes it takes longer than what we anticipate. And it's in those times, that gap, where we need to settle in our hearts that we're going to trust him. We're going to listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. We're going to stand on the right foot in the Word of God. And we're going to continue regardless. And if you set your stall out right at the beginning, God, this is what I'm praying for, but I'm going to trust you anyway, then often you'll see it a lot faster. The problem is that when we pray for something and it doesn't happen the next day or the day after, within 3 days we can become quite discouraged and almost sarcastic with God. Well, it was never meant to be. And we develop a theology around why God doesn't answer prayer instead of going to the book and realizing that God's a God who answers prayer, that sometimes we've just got to work it through. We've got to just be earnest in our prayers. So the verse I want to just continue to look at is that we pray for each other so that we may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Like I said this morning, the principles that I'm talking about can be adapted and put to any situation, but I'm just focusing on healing as the catalyst so that you can take it on to other things as well. So I read a verse this morning as well, Mark 11:23. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says, it will happen, it will be done for them. It's interesting, and I've spoken on this verse a few times, and just to remind you, that there's times in our life that we're praying about something, and what we're really doing is complaining to God about the situation and circumstances. We're almost telling God as if he don't know. And yet God already knows our needs before we even ask for them. He knows our desires and he knows our wants and he knows the circumstances we find ourselves in. You know, Brexit is not a thing for God. God's not going, I didn't expect that. What's going on? I thought we're going to leave. Jesus have not left. What happens now? He's like going, he knew it was going to happen. You can't play cards with God. He always knows what's coming next. It's kind of like he knows it all. But for us, we need to stop complaining to God and telling God how bad life is for us and start speaking to the mountain, because Jesus did it all on the cross. He set us free at the cross. He sorted everything else out for us at the cross. So we can now take the authority. In Matthew 28, verse, I think it's 18, 19, 20, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Now, when he said that to his disciples, all authority in heaven, they'd have gone, well, yeah. But when he said all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, they'd probably go, hang on a minute. Because the Jewish people understood that Adam gave authority, got it from God, but gave it to the devil. And they understood that on the earth, the devil has authority. But Jesus said, because of what I've done at the cross, that I died, I was buried, and 3 days later I rose from the dead, and this is just before he ascended, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go. You go in that authority. You go in the power that I'm going to give you. You go and stand in my place. You see, in ourselves, we cannot do anything. In ourselves, I mean, I can speak over my body and it wouldn't change a thing in myself. But in Jesus, it makes all the difference. In Jesus, we can command our bodies. In Jesus, we can command the authority, the demons and stuff like that. In Jesus, we can take our rightful place, which happens to be seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians. I like that. Can't work it out entirely, but I just accept it. I don't try to worry about it too much. But we need to speak to our mountains, and we need to not allow doubt to come in. And that's the problem between the prayer and the manifestation of what we're praying for. That's the battlefield. That's where things get a little bit of a problem. And sometimes, in most times, we allow doubt and unbelief to come in. But also, I was talking to Joe in the week. Sometimes when you pray for somebody to be healed and nothing manifests straight away, you can actually allow doubt just to drop in. You need to be quick. And I'm learning that sometimes I might have to pray for somebody once, twice, three times. I heard of a guy who got prayed for. It was amazing. And him and his son had gone out somewhere, and his son said, Dad, I really think I need to pray for that person over there. So Dad went, yeah, okay. This guy, someone in the 20s. So he walked over to this guy and said, I believe God's saying you're going to be healed. So this guy goes, okay, you can pray for me. He says, he prayed for me. He said, how do you feel? He says, no better. He goes, okay, I'll pray again. Prayed again. How do you feel? No better. Prayed a third time. How do you feel? No better. Prayed for a fourth time. Went, hang on a minute, something's happening. He says, good, I'm going to keep praying. Totally, miraculously healed. So the dad is now going, hey, God's moving. So he sees somebody in a wheelchair. This is a dad trying to outdo the son. And he sees this guy, and he walks up to this guy. He says, can I pray for you? And the guy went, what? He says, can I pray for you? And the guy said, yeah, okay. He says, so in the name of Jesus, be healed. He said, how do you feel? He said, no difference. He says, okay, I'm going to pray again. He prayed again, the same thing. How do you feel? No difference. He prayed a third time. How do you feel? And the guy says, no difference. Now stop praying for me. So the dad looked at him. What do you mean? He says, nobody has ever prayed for me. He says, can I come to your church? He said, I need to check out this God that you're talking about. The guy didn't get healed, but as the story went, he got saved. Amen. And you're thinking, hang on a minute, we all go after the healing, which is a good thing, but Jesus is looking for life-transforming, life-changing experiences with him. And if somebody isn't a Christian and they get healed, they're still eventually going to die and go to hell. And even if, I'll say this, you know, in my struggle, even if somebody doesn't get healed, but they're saved, one day they will be complete anyway. But I do believe that God wants us to be complete here. The word saved, zozo, is to be made whole. Mind, body, everything. So he continues, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe you have received it and it is yours. And these verses are very controversial, but in reality, he's saying, when you ask in prayer, you pray, you ask, believe. Well, I prayed, didn't I? That's not believing. That's just words. So you pray and believe that you have received them, then you will. So you start praying, believing and trusting that God's already sorting it out. God, you've got that good job for me. You're lining it up for me. You just saw, God, you've got that money coming my way. God, you've got that healing coming out. God, you've got this sorted out for me in my life. God, you've got everything that I need ahead of me. And God works it through in our lives. If you've got a Bible, if you want to turn to John 14, these are some good verses to underline in your Bible. John 14, verse 13 to 15. And Jesus says this, and I will do whatever you ask. He's talking to his disciples, talking about prayer. He said, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I think this is amazing. Jesus says to the disciples, and therefore through the word of God says to us, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father is glorified in the Son. So, get this. When I ask God and I'm believing God and Jesus responds and does what I've asked in the name of Jesus, God's getting glory, which I think is a pretty good thing. It's called the kingdom of God advancing. It's called pushing back the darkness and marching forward. Do whatever I ask. Sorry, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do that. I know this one. People often say, well, what about if someone asks for £1 million? Or well, if you can believe for it, go for it. And then if you're part of our church, please tithe. But you'll only ask for what you can believe. And that's why sometimes we need to get to know the Son more and more. But as you get to know the Son more and more, as you get to know Jesus more, you won't ask for the silly things. I don't think £1 million is a silly thing, but you'll start asking for what he wants for you to walk in. And then it continues, if you love me, says Jesus, you will keep my commands. We need actually as believers to take our rightful place. Our rightful place, and as I said, our rightful place is in Jesus, seated in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, any name or anything. Now, don't get carried away. They're also looking at me going, don't you get carried away neither. But the truth is, according to Ephesians, we are in Christ, seated in heavenly places, far above everything else. Yet we're living here, but our rightful place is in Christ, where he is. But we're operating here on earth. And the fact is that God cannot operate through anything other than people. Yet we're wanting God to drop money down from heaven or do amazing things. And God's going, you know, I can do that, but my way of doing it is through people. So that when we, God's church, we see somebody that says, pray earnestly, that's when we start laying hands on people. And I don't mean just slapping them everywhere. But when we start praying earnestly for people and we're serious about praying for people and we don't give up praying for people, then God starts to move because we're above in Christ, above all the principalities and powers. Therefore, we have authority in Christ to command things to leave, command diseases to go and to command people to be loosed. One of the reasons why people often don't, you know, are not set free from things because they're trying to negotiate with God, they're trying to make a deal with God and say the right things before the people in the church, when God's saying, I'm not conned by it. God's looking for people that are fully in. We sung a song, Spirit Send Me. If he says no, then I say no. If he says we need to go, he says, okay, let's go. But yet we want to negotiate. We want to kind of make a deal with God, and God's not in the deal making. Salvation is a thing where we can come to God, we can get saved, and that's good. We're going to heaven, amazing. But beyond that, God's looking for disciples who are fully in. People who's going to grow. And when it says, call upon the elders of the church, you can say, yeah, that could be the elders in the church, the pastors, the fivefold ministry, the eldership team, that's there. But it could also be people that are mature in Christ. So when we're praying for one another, find someone who's mature in Christ, let them slap hands on you and let them pray fervently from you, knowing that they are a righteous person and that their prayers are powerful and effective. And I've reminded you this morning that you are a righteous person and therefore your prayers are powerful and effective if you only believe in it. So I believe that when I pray, there's power and it's effective. I also know I've got to be careful sometimes. God speaks from me in the prophetic, and sometimes I can let my mouth run away and talk into situations, and there's still a prophetic edge to that. So I've got to be careful sometimes, even what I say when I'm amongst other people, non-Christians and stuff like that. But Elijah, when Elijah prayed, it's in verse 17, it talks about he was the only human and he prayed. But Elijah had a word from God. He had a promise from God, yet he prayed until he saw the word. Yes, first time you get a word from God, you're just trusting God. You're saying, you know what? God, I'm leaving that with you. I'm believing you. I'm just going to leave it there. But sometimes there needs to be a bit of urgency. You know, it's okay saying to God, God, you've got a job for me. You've got a great job for me. But when the bills start paying up, piling up, you start getting a bit urgent, man, don't you? And you start praying a bit more. You know, there's some stuff you can trust God's God. You've given me a word. I'm trusting in that. But there's other things you've really got to tackle and start going to some fervent prayer about. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this, that we live by faith and not by sight. Or in other versions, it says we walk by faith and not by sight. When you pray for something and you've not seen it yet, that's when you are walking by faith. That's when you are stepping out in faith. You're living by faith. Because once you've received something, you no longer need faith. Once you've received it, you don't need faith anymore. I mean, I said this morning, we talked about, it's a bit of a joke, I talked about cake. I believed that there was a piece of cake out there for me. When I looked, there was a full cake. But when I went to the back, believing in faith, when I got there, my eyes saw there was no cake, but I believed. And Debbie says, here you are. She was not saving it for me. She'd taken the last one. But we shared it. You see, sometimes you're asking for something and you can ask. And you say, well, I'm asking in faith. Well, are you? Because you never know what faith is at until the next day when you've not seen what you asked for. Then you know if you've got faith. Then you know if you're trusting. Because it's only then when you get what you've asked for that you no longer need faith anymore in that circumstance because you've already received it. I mean, if you're still saying, I'm still believing God, if I'd have eaten that cake and said, I'm still believing God for this piece of cake I've just eaten, people look at you gone out. But you can trust God, and it's in that gap between praying and receiving when you need to be mindful of a gap. Mind the gap. Make sure there's no doubt and unbelief in there. You know, Elijah had a word from God. He had a promise from God. But according to 2 Peter 1:19, he's talking about how he saw Jesus on that mountain. He saw Jesus and Elijah and Moses there. But he says this, we have something. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it. Peter's saying it's great to have a vision. It's great to see great things in God. That's amazing. But the word of God is reliable and stable and strong and our foundation. It's okay having the experience, but the word of God is what we stand on. So we should be earnestly praying powerful prayers and agreeing to God's word that God's already spoken. You take a verse from the Bible that talks about that it's God's will that none perish. Simple verse. It's God's will that none perish. And you've got unsaved people in your family. You could say, well, God, I've got a verse in the Bible. I've got a verse. Standing on the word. Well, are you really? Because standing on the word, going, God, I know that you've got a plan for their life. God, you've got a purpose for their life. And keep reminding God that, God, it's your will that none perish. So you've got a plan for that person's life. Yes, I know they're a bit of a runaway. I know that they don't deserve you, but none of us really deserve anything from God. But you can start praying positive prayers according to God's will. God's will is none perish. None will perish, and then you can start praying. Now, you are never going to change somebody's heart. Don't matter how much of a shove a track in the back pocket when we're not looking, put some holy water on the Sunday dinner, what's going on in the gravy. It's not going to change a thing. But when you start praying, God's will. That's why when it comes to sickness, I actually believe it's God's will that none of us are sick. I believe it's God's will to heal the sick. And that might be why, I just go after it with like a dog with a bone. Ah, big bone. But that's just where I am. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, for who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He's talking about Jesus being on the cross, and it ties into Isaiah 53, which we looked at this morning. And then it continues, that we, having died to sin, we've got saved, might live to righteousness. We're walking in the righteousness of God, by whose stripes we were healed. You see, in the Old Testament, it says, by his stripes we are healed, looking forward. Peter says, slight mistranslation, by his stripes we were healed, because he's looking back. And you think, some people might want to be sick and it's up to them. But I want the church to be healthy, because when you're healthy, you work, get more money. No, you're a testimony. If everybody at your workplace is snotting and miserable and sick all the time, and you're just looking like you're on Red Bull constantly, you're happy. People's going to go, I wonder what's going on there. I mean, it's a little bit if you work with James, because they're all happy. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a bit of competition going on there. Who can be the happiest? And you daren't be sad. Because everyone will go, ooh, not walking close to God, are we? You know what I mean? We need to have a talk to him about David, though, taking him to the slot machines. So anyway, where are we? Right, we're here. God can only use people, and yet some people see God as just in heaven, throwing out little bits of blessings here and there. It's all like he's sat on his throne and there's people doing stuff over here and he don't like it. He throws some lightning down there. And there's stuff over there and he throws lightning over there. And there's a church praying, so he throws some blessings out. And if you're fortunate enough that you're under that right spot, that you get blessed, it's amazing. But that's not the way God works. God says, I've already blessed you so you can be a blessing to other people. I said this the other week, but I believe that many of us have got gifts that we've just wrapped up and tied up inside us that are an amazing blessing for somebody else. But we're not walking in the faith that God's got for us and trusting him, so we're keeping it to ourselves because we need to grow a bit of a backbone and start stepping out on the things, not for our benefit, for somebody else's benefit. And I like that because it's not all down to one person. All authority, Jesus said, I've read this already, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus told us to go and make disciples. He didn't just tell us to go get people saved. He says, go teach them everything I've taught you. Now, what did Jesus teach them? Well, look at Acts and see what they did. That's what he taught them to do. Peter walks up to a guy begging, like, give me your attention. Now, that's an amazing story in Acts where at Gate Beautiful, he walks up to a beggar, him and John. I mean, you've got to put John in there because, I mean, Peter takes all the limelight, doesn't he? I think Peter paid Luke because he always comes out really good in this, doesn't he? And then Paul must have given him some more money. I mean, Luke went off with Paul, didn't he? But he walks up to this beggar, or they walk up to this beggar, and the beggar says, have you got any money? And he says, Peter looked at him, and he looked back, looking at each other. We don't read that he prayed. We don't say, hang on a minute, just stay there. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We don't read that. He just grabbed the guy and says, what I've got, I'll give you. Off of the internet. What I have, I will give to you. Grabs him with the hand and pulled him up. Now, this guy never walked. Never walked. I mean, at least it takes maybe 6 months to 18 months for babies to learn to walk. This guy never walked. He sat there all his life. And suddenly a guy walks up to him, grabs him, says, in the name of Jesus, stand up. Whoa. And he were up. That's what Jesus taught his disciples to do. And then he says, go into all the world and make disciples of everyone, teaching them to obey everything I've taught you. But over the years, it's got a little bit watered down. Over the years, we've gone from we need to trust in God for everything to the, well, let's be self-efficient until and make sure we've got our this, that, and the other and our ticket to heaven. But God wants us to be with him. In Acts 10:38, it says this. It says, now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. The reason I've wrote that is because sometimes concerning sickness or struggles or breakthroughs, we're at war. We're in a war. There is a devil. There are demons out there. And I'm not going to blame them from everything. But at the end of the day, there are demons out there and there are devils out there who's having a go. And sometimes they don't want to give people up. And I won't talk about demon possession outright. I'm talking about the fact that they will oppress people, bring people down, and they're not going to give them up that easy. And that's why sometimes we can walk up and say, in the name of Jesus, and they go out in the spirit and jump up afresh and anew. But sometimes we've got to take hold of them and pray for them for a while. Sometimes we've got to be earnest in prayer because some demons don't come out or come across that easy. Sometimes we've got to go to battle. And Jesus' name is powerful and effective. And we can stand in the name of Jesus. But you know, even Jesus had to pray for one person twice, which is usually the one everybody uses as an excuse. But he did pray for one person twice, but everybody else he prayed for once. You know, let's go with the majority. And that's in Mark 8:25. He says, then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look at him. And he says, and then he restored him. And he says, what do you see? He said, I see clearly. So Jesus spat in the guy's eyes and prayed for him. He said, what do you see? He said, I see men like trees, which is interesting because he'd been blind all his life. So I didn't know what a tree looked like and I didn't know what a man looked like. But that's something else. Does anybody else ask these questions in your head? And then he prayed for him a second time, and this time he saw everything. But some people are genuinely oppressed by the devil. Now, I'm not using that as an excuse for us. I'm not talking about demon possession. I'm just talking about being oppressed. It means sometimes you've just been influenced, you've just been encouraged by the devil or by the demons, and we're listening to rubbish. You know, sometimes you can give gateways into your own life if you're not careful by believing stupid things or acting stupidly or doing silly things. In Luke 13, verse 10 to 16, it says this. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, this is New King James. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And she was bent over and could no longer in no way rise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loose from your infirmities. And he said to Eve, laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. It's interesting that Jesus says, you are loose from your infirmities. Then he laid his hands on her, and she was immediately straightened up. There's two things going on here. She had a spirit of infirmity upon her, a spirit of sickness. And I actually believe that sometimes even Christians, I'm not talking about demon possession, but Christians listen too much to rubbish and they take on a spirit of infirmities. I'll never be better. I'll never be right. It's in my family. That's a good one, isn't it? You know, granddad worried, dad worried, I worry. Part of family. It's a spirit. And I don't mean it might not be a demonic spirit, but it's still a trait running through the family. You know, sometimes people have, some people just are sick, aren't they? Some people eat broccoli, cabbage, have all the good vitamins, and they're still sickly people. And some people eat the donuts, the chocolate, and have a Sunday dinner every now and then, and are generally fit. Why is that? Well, it could be the fact that some stand in faith and eat stupidly, which is a good thing if you want to eat silly, keep standing in faith. And some people do all the benefits of trying to do everything in the natural and yet still are sickly people. I've had people say, you know, I went to doctors, this was funny, you know, you have your 40-year MOT. It's a funny thing, isn't it? I went and they do all these tests and they told me that I've got a 3% chance of dying. I go, that's pretty good because if you don't look, you've got 100% chance of dying up road. So we're all right there. And they says to me, what, your dad was sick? I said, my dad was sick, yeah. Oh, that's bad. I goes, yeah, but my mum's healthy. I said, yeah, but your dad's sick. He says, has anybody died of cancer? I said, yeah, my nan died of cancer. Oh. I says, my granddad died of cancer. Oh. I says, but my other granddad shot himself. And my other nan just refuses to die. And her dad, lived till he was 98, 99, fell over on ice, banged his hip, went into hospital and got that disease he get in an hospital. I said, so he lived forever. My nan's living forever. My mum's as fit as a fiddle. I'm sticking on that side of the family. But sometimes you listen to words from experts and they can feed your head with facts that might be true, but it's not the big picture. Yeah, your granddad might have died of cancer, but your other one probably lived forever almost. Pick the one you want to follow. So we need to be careful. Now, there is spirits of infirmity. There are demonic things that give people, but they can only put a sickness onto somebody if that person's going to let them put the sickness on them. Oh, now, I need to be careful sometimes, but I do know of people that have talked themselves literally into a grave. I know somebody who convinced everybody and convinced themselves that they had a disease, and the doctor said, you do not have it. And they said, I've been in the medical things. I know. And then died. Because they knew. The doctor said no. They said yes. And they died. Anyway, where am I? So he lays his hands on this woman and she is immediately strained up. Then they have this argument about whether he should heal on the Sabbath and stuff like that. And then in verse 16, it says this. So all to this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, curious, in those days, being a daughter meant she's a believer. Not a Christian, because we didn't have Christians then, but a daughter whom Satan has bound. So Jesus says, this woman's got a spirit of infirmity who Satan has bound. Think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from these bounds on the Sabbath. Shouldn't she be loosened, even on a Saturday? Well, yeah. But Jesus says she's been bound by Satan. Some people do have a spirit of infirmity. It's not to be scared of. And you don't need to take things on, but you just need to stand on the word of God. By stripes we're healed. Heals all our sicknesses. And then if you get into other situations, start thinking about stuff. And if you are concerned, it says, then pray for each other that you might be healed. Pray for one another that you might be. So actually, sometimes we might have to pray for somebody so that we get healed. Well, I need the prayer. Yeah, but while praying for other people, you might get it. Elijah prayed until he saw the beginnings of his answer. Sometimes we need to pray until we see what God's going to do. Keep praying. Keep him there. But don't use it as an excuse. God, I need a job. I need a job. I need a job. God, I need a job. Lord, I'm believing you've got a job for me. You've got a job for me, God. You've got something amazing for me. I thank you, God, for that. And you go, really positive. And God goes, yeah, at least apply for a job. You do your bit, says God, I'll do mine. So prayer in itself is powerful and effective, but sometimes you need to do something else. You know, if you're bleeding, don't say, God, I need you to heal me. At least stop the bleeding first. Else you might pass out and never be able to finish your prayer life off. So we need to watch the gap, but it's in the gap where we can be discouraged. It's in the gap where we can be almost tormented if we're not careful. In the gap is when the devil can speak lies into our lives. And we are at war, and sometimes the devil doesn't give up so easily. That's why sometimes you need to go in, and you need to go in to win. I like something Dwayne Sherriff says. He says he's only ever had two fights in his life. He says, and he lost one and won the other. And he says the one he lost wasn't a good fight, and the one he won was a good fight. And he says, and she nearly bet him anyway. He had a fight with a girl. But he said this, he went into the fight determined he was not going to lose, even if it killed him, because it was a girl. So we need to go to war with the devil, committed to the fact that we're not going to step back, we're not going to give in, we're going to keep marching forward. And if you need anything to stand on, then read Ephesians 6, and especially verse 13. Therefore, take the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand the day of the evil day, and having done all, stand. Sometimes you can't do anything else, but what you can do is stand. And standing means I'm determined. Standing is, I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to stand on your word. And it might be killing you, but you still stand. James 4:7 says this, therefore submit to God. First thing, submit to God. Resist the devil, and then eventually he will flee. He'll go. But you've got to take your stand. I'm submitting to you, God. I'm trusting in you, God. I'm believing in you, God. I'm saying what you say, God. I'm going to resist the devil because I'm standing in you, Lord. I'm submitting to you. I'm going to resist him. So how can we resist the devil and submit to God? It's simple. We spend time with Jesus in earnest prayer, because it's not about the quick fix miracle that we're really desiring. God's wanting the relationship with us, so that not only can we come through the situation and bring glory to God, but we can encourage other people with our testimonies and say that I've been there, I've been through it, and I'll help you go through it. And next time we won't go through it as long. Hopefully, we'll keep on going. I mean, if anybody ever went to Sarah in the Bible going, do you have any baby advice? I mean, she waited years. I mean, at least go to somebody who's popping out the babies like peas. We better not get Sarah again, had we? Better leave that one. You'll have to listen to this morning's. Maybe resisting the devil takes a little longer than 2 minutes. I think resisting the devil is actually a lifetime. It's not just, I've resisted you. Right, that's it. I've done that. No, submitting to God continuously. Resisting continuously. And he is fleeing continuously. Why is he fleeing continuously? Because you're advancing. Because you're stepping into his kingdom, advancing the kingdom of God. So he's having to resist you. You're resisting him. You're submitting to God, resisting the devil. And he's having to back up. And when sickness comes up, the spirit of infirmity comes up, he's got to back away. Because there's no other name in heaven and earth that everything must bow down, and his name's Jesus. And we've got that authority. And pray for one another that you may be healed. And pray, the prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, and as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years. After he had prayed, the heavens gave again, after he prayed, and the heavens gave their rain and produced a crop. That's what God's asking for us. We need to be persistent. And remember Ephesians 3, verse 20, I like this, and I put it in the New King James. It says, now unto him, let's talk about Jesus, who is able to do exceedingly, good cakes, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Exceedingly. That's a big word, isn't it? It hasn't got all these words in NIV version. Abundantly. Above. And this is the sort of language you need when you go for a pay rise, isn't it? Exceedingly, abundantly, above everybody else. That we can ask or think according to the power that's in at work in us. Not according to the power that's at work coming from above. That's at work in us. So he can do everything more than we could ever dream or imagine through the power that's at work in you. In you. So the prayer, fervent prayer of a righteous person is effective and powerful. And you are that righteous person. God is looking for somebody who will give birth to the promises that he's given, that's going to give birth to everything that God's put in your heart. Guys, have you got something in your heart that you're just waiting for God to do something? The biggest struggle, and I'm no expert on this, I've only seen two other than on the TV, but usually towards the end of the birth, the whole pregnancy thing, it does get a little bit rough. Maybe a little bit? No? It just carries on being easy. No. It's at the end, just before the baby's born, that things get to the roughest. I won't say the worst, but they can be. And it's the hardest time. And some of you guys, you're birthing something. And let me encourage you to be earnest in prayer. Standing on that word that God promised, but praying it through. Birthing out of you everything he's got for us. So is anybody in trouble? Let him pray. Is anybody happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone sick? And then it goes through that thing. So just trust God, praying it through, working it through, believing for the instant, but pushing through until you see the seed form of what you're asking for. Amen. 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 Lord God, I just thank you for all these people, and we pray right now that you will continue to encourage us. Lord, that you will continue to speak to us. Lord, as we spend time in earnest prayer coming before you, Lord, we thank you for all the amazing miracles that you do. But we also thank you for those that take a little bit of time also. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to move through this church and through your people, that we may change this town, this county, this country for you. All in the name of Jesus. Amen.